Shelly Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
11-11 or November 11th, 2022. Check out that math. 11 plus 11 makes 22. And here we are with you live on a Friday night. And I know this date without having to look at the calendar today because it's the birthday of, well, my oldest son. And so anyhow, happy birthday, Charlie. I know you don't listen to my show, but I said it anyway. He does listen to Hell and High Water once in a while, and definitely a decidedly different individual from me, so I doubt we'll be seeing him in radio land or podcast land anytime soon, but who knows, because he once did get a spot on MTV. Anyway, maybe one day I'll bring him onto the show to talk about it, but not today, because it is the open mic Friday night, and that means I need participation. Matter of fact, tonight I definitely need participation. I got some stuff, you know, you didn't get your fill voting for or against whoever this past Tuesday, this last selection day. You haven't gotten enough of the ad nauseum coverage on certain networks. You haven't gotten enough of an earful about who's taken over what, who won, who lost really, 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 and what runoff is going to happen in Georgia and whatever else. You didn't get enough. You can vote tonight. How about that? On something that, you know, hey, when you guys speak and I make a commitment to do something, it generally gets done. So that's unlike the politicians you vote for, isn't it? Anyway, 319-527-5016, that's the number to call in. Yes, I've been under the weather this week. Actually, I threw up my guts during the hour that I had regular Joe on, less than an hour. I was totally off my game, nauseous, and was vomiting in my garbage can. Well, regular Joe was giving you a philosophical speech. You didn't hear it on the mic, because I don't do that to you. Who wants to hear that? But, yeah, I haven't felt well since Wednesday, but I am recovering. I don't know. I got more of a sensitive stomach, and anything out of the ordinary with my food anymore affects the crap out of me. So, yeah, I was feeling pretty ill, and I've got most of my strength back tonight, but doesn't matter, because I need you guys to do the talking tonight, okay? 319-527-5016. And before I set my agenda, and also remind you that you can call in via Skype, but you don't call in. You send me a message via Skype to Charles.Ocelli, and I will call you into the show if you so ask for that. So anyway, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, or again, 319-527-5016. And get on the line if you want to. Don't hold your calls until I get to the voting, because, again, I got priorities here, and one of my big priorities is to check in with one of my longest-standing co-hosts in the history of the show. Might be the longest-standing co-host. I don't know. Maybe J.P. Satilli's got you beat by a little bit. Maybe Mike Swanson's got you beat by a little bit. But he's been here for a few years doing this, guys. Pete. My Friday night man, the guy who ran shotgun with me, or rode shotgun with me, if I can get my lips straight here, rode shotgun with me on Wednesdays, and then we switched it to Fridays. Glad to have you along. How are you doing tonight? What's on your mind? Let me breathe, brother. What's going on?
Well, you know, I've spent all week trying to wash all the red wave residue off everything. You know, that huge tsunami that was supposed to hit.
That had to be tough.
Which, oh, we'll get into it later. But it's another example of a certain party shooting themselves in the foot again and again and again, to the point now they're shooting themselves through the same hole, so they're just wasting ammo. They might as well stop.
Well, there ain't no foot left. There ain't no foot left either. You know, the left or the right foot. They pretty much obliterated the foot. Go ahead, sorry.
I can't believe you. Well, a lot of people out there believe the media. Oh, it's going to be a big red wave. What? Four seats changed? Mm-hmm. You know, hit it off a couple senators for a couple senators in the House. What? A total of, what was the pickup? Four? Mm-hmm. Six? What much? And if it pans out the way they're saying, they're going to what? Have a two-seat majority in the House when everything's said and done.
Oh, maybe.
Wow.
You got the runoff in Georgia. Look, yeah, good.
Yeah, now I pity all you guys living in Georgia, because you're going to have to put up with the political ads now for another month.
Told you.
So my sympathy to you, because, you know, I heard somebody on the radio the other day said, yeah, they're going to start canceling regular programming just to run ads in Georgia.
It's almost ridiculous. True. You know what? It's almost true, because you know what's happening now is some of the coverage that we're getting. Now, I don't watch a lot of regular broadcast TV, but I tuned in the other day to catch something. I'm not even going to say what it was because I don't want to endorse or promote it. But one of my guilty little pleasures, I said, let me go see what this is. You know what they did? They put a frame around the show that was going on, right? So that the political ads could be run simultaneous with part of the show. So during a lull in the show that wasn't like of super importance, they were running political ads. No kidding. It was, the Warnock, here's the tape of the woman complaining about her running over his foot and I can't believe how he acts and he's crazy. And then, right after it, of course, equal opportunity. Right after it, Herschel Walker can't even remember all the violence he's committed. The two of them throwing back and forth the domestic violence records, which, according to what I can tell, I mean, both of them have had a little problem with maybe getting physical with their women. Just saying.
According to the ads, which one's worse, Warnock or Walker?
Well, there's a lot more to work with Walker because there's more public statements and there's just more women, right?
Yeah.
Warnock.
But he's got a
hot.
Gotta give him that though.
No, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
I said he's got a Heisman Trophy. You got to give him that though. He does have that positive playback on.
Well, look, he's got a Heisman Trophy, and quite frankly, Warnock has the great ATM of being able to use Dr. Martin Luther King's church, so guaranteed the the minister is never hurting for funds, okay? Just saying.
No, if it was me, if I were running an ad down there for Warnock, I would show a picture of the Heisman Trophy and the position of the runner. He's got the ball, and he's making that move. And then I would fade into a picture of Herschel Walker doing the same thing. And here's Herschel with his shaving kit as he's leaving his fourth living girlfriend after his 27th birth. I'd tear him up.
Well, you know, look, you could do it both ways. You could put a bunch of little trophies around the Heisman Trophy, little miniature ones, and say, here's all the kids that Herschel ain't taking care of. You could turn around and go, okay, now here's Warnock's trophies and show an empty shelf. You could turn around and say, you know what?
Warnock's church is being looked at for some type of filing, I think, of their charitable organization may be called into question.
Well, perfect.
So now they get back out.
Yeah, no, perfect. That way they can both go at each other about that because Walker makes claims that he did charitable work and donated money and there's no record of it. And Warnock can say, you know, can get whatever charges are probably due against him. Look. You know me, I'm not a fan on either side here. I tend to default to, I think Walker is less qualified than Warnock only because Walker, you know, which personality is going to show up at work? I mean, if it's the one that gets the job done and we can be assured that he'll stay locked. Oh, that's right. He's supposed to be cured of his multiple personality problem. But all right. Anyway. Whatever. And Warnock's problems are in the past, you know. So it's, you know, don't judge people about the past. And a pastor should know that I was redeemed, Walker says. And there's even two independent things that, you know, allegedly independent PACs that are also running ads. It's not just the campaigns where it's.
Well, how much? Yeah. Wasn't there a Libertarian candidate down there? And he
took
a little bit of the total.
Well,
what percentage did he take? Would it have given either one of them the majority they needed?
Yes, he Ross Perot'd it because he got more than the, you know, and I feel bad because the guy who was running for Secretary of State has been on this show, and actually I got to reach out to Ted. Ted Metz is a great guy. He ran for he was the guy I endorsed and brought on the show for the, you know, the campaign there with Abrams where he got 0.5%. Of the vote for governor. And generally speaking, across the board, these guys were scoring 0.5, 0.6, right? Including the guy for governor, whose name I can't even remember at this point. Also not a bad guy, But, you know, nice guy. I mean, I've actually met some of these people. You know, because quite frankly, if I'm going to meet a politician here, I did meet that one crazy socialist Democrat guy who was just like, I'll come to your house. And I was like, sure, I'll believe it when I see it. And he showed up. What can I say? I said, if you show up, I'll put a sign in my yard for you. And he did. So I did. I stick to my word, as I said. But outside of that, and he was just interesting because he had weird ideas, and I found that interesting. Knew he wasn't going to win, but that was during that jungle primary, they called it, right? Where we had like 10 candidates trying to run for Senate. Anyways, Warnock, though, and Walker, this is interesting because this guy whose name now is escaping me, his last name, but his first name is Shane. He's not a bad guy. It was his turn to try and run for Senate. The Libertarian candidates, the good ones anyway, sort of just go, okay, you run for this time, you run for that. And they do it. He got 2% of the vote about, according to, what I understand. And that 2%, in all likelihood, like I say, he parode, Walker here. Because the libertarians, honestly, in Georgia anyways, not necessarily libertarians all the way, but libertarians in Georgia would have fallen to the Republican side if they weren't going to, you know, if they weren't going to vote libertarian, okay?
That's a lot of states when libertarians run. If it's going to drain voters, it'll usually do it from the Republican side of things.
Yeah, and I mean, there are people that will argue that the math does, but I assure you, the math does work out right. That's exactly what he drew. Is just enough that probably Walker would have been able to take it without Shane being in there. And funny fact is that he got more than the other Libertarian candidates generally did in Georgia. So it wasn't like a party lines problem here. There were people that looked at both of these guys and said, no, Libertarian, above the normal Libertarian amount. So there's that. And he even, a funny thing about Warnock is he even tried in the last days there campaigning with White Boy Roy, the other senator that got in. I can't even remember his name now because he's so unmemorable. The guy with the, I don't know what to say about it. He is a guy that I just wouldn't vote for based on his personality. I don't care what his policies are. He's just a vanilla nothing. The guy doesn't strike me as anything. I don't know why he's running outside of the fact that I guess he had enough money to do it during the time that he was running against the Republicans, who had a lot of money the last time when these guys got in and were already from, like, rich families and all that, you know? I mean, the one lady there, her husband, like, owns the stock market, basically. I mean, owns the exchange, pretty much. So, you know, you weren't talking about people that were like outsiders or just common citizens trying to run. Anyway, he even tried campaigning with that guy. You know, Trump kicked in his 2 cents. You know, the governor here, and there's another funny thing. The governor couldn't drag Walker along with him because the governor did well. Actually, Abrams did a lot better than I thought she would. But, you know, as per what we knew was going to happen, she wasn't going to get in there. But if you try and line up the people that probably flipped a switch for the governor and still decided not to flip the switch for Walker, that hurt him by a couple of percentage points. And then you add that with the Libertarian candidate who did siphon off some GOP votes. I think you have the solution. Now, with this runoff, with just the two of them in it, I'm not of the opinion that campaign commercials usually move people unless there is some super shocker built in. I'm thinking that Walker might actually take it. If all things hold and he doesn't have, like, you know, a serious public meltdown or, you know, they don't get past, he just had, you know, well, there was a couple abortions there. You know, there's the domestic violence. There's, you know, I had multiple personalities, but I don't. If they can't pile on something else significant and way more Jerry Springer-ish than what they already have, I'm thinking Walker's got a good shot to take it. But I wouldn't bet on this one because I don't know. It's still a coin toss in my mind. But if the Libertarian votes do, you know, return to where I think they probably would belong, he should be able to pull it out. So there's the total story.
It's amazing to think control of the Senate comes down to those two individuals.
Yes, it is.
That's the part that kills me. I think it's high time that we start pushing for third-party candidates in every state and let them win seats. And so that when they go to Congress, we bust this two-party system down the middle, and they're going to have to learn to work with somebody to get something done.
Fair enough. It's crazy. So look, just a quick general announcement for the live listening audience, because I do see that we have a couple of callers on the line already. I just want you to know that we haven't even gotten to the stuff I want your feedback and require it from you. And in fact, I'm going to need some feedback from B. Pete and everything. We're going to get into that subject after we take our first break. But just to give you a little teaser here, I have some questions that I need answered, and it's going to be an expansive thing, and I'm going to allow the lead for this to pretty much, like, I'm going to lay out the premise, and I'm going to let BP carve it out, okay? And BP doesn't even know this. He has no idea what it is I'm going to throw on the table at all, but there's a couple of things about the future of the network and my show that, I need to hear from you guys now. Because certain things are beginning to discourage me, and certain things are beginning to cause me to think that, you know what, there's a couple of ways I could go about a few things, and I want to know from you guys if I've got my head screwed on right or I'm misreading the audience at this point. I want to know, because I've been in some weird positions over the past couple of weeks, and I'm starting to think that, you know what, maybe after just about 10 straight years of doing this, first of all, I'd like to celebrate that a bit next year in 2023. I've got some ideas. We talked last week about making a road trip, me and B. Pete, and who knows, we could involve some others and do a caravan to Dallas. All right, and do that. But you know what? Is 10 years enough? Maybe do I need to go find something else to do? I want to know from you guys if that's something that has to happen. And to celebrate the full 10 years of doing this straight, I need some feedback and input from you guys anyway, because whether I decide to quit next year or not, I'd like to celebrate and release and, you know, just kind of like, here's my last little hurrah, here's my going away party, maybe put out the stuff for everybody to be able to get their hands on, the archives, all that. But there's a couple of considerations along the way, and again, I am going to take very seriously, it's going to carry a lot of weight, what you guys decide to call in about tonight when I ask the questions, and also other feedback after the show, because I know a lot of people catch it via podcast. And I want to hear from all of you. As much as you want to be able to make your voice heard, I want your votes on these things. And in all honesty, one of the big votes is, here's the teaser, I want to know if I should set a date and put a sunset on the Ocelli Effect and the network. I want to know if you guys think that maybe it's time to do that. I want to know. And if not, I want to know why, and if so, I want to know why. And I'll be honest with you, if I get an overwhelming response that says, you know what, hang it up, shut up, be done, you know, I'll find something else, because I dedicate myself to this full time, whether you know it or not. I make sure that there's a running radio stream at all times, online, there is, you know, regardless of whether they put me on AM or FM. I work with other people now, but used to do all the video work myself. Whatever videos came out, they came out. You know, occasionally I had, like, Tony Hurst help me produce something. I had Daniel Lewis Crumpton help me produce something. But quite frankly, all the video stuff used to be what I did. I managed all that stuff. I have managed it. I still do. I'm producing other people's shows. And I'm wondering something, because I'm not getting the feeling that anybody thinks that this is any longer a special thing or worthwhile or worthy of some people's time. And if that's the truth, you know what? I'm not going to remain doing what it is I do if it's not wanted in some way. And it's not about ego or anything else. I want an honest appraisal. Maybe I've already said and done everything that, you know, and maybe I'm just not that good at this, even after all the practice and whatever it is I've learned along the way. Maybe you guys think that this is just a crap fest and, you know, it's interesting to watch the train wreck, but maybe the blind guy's not good enough to maintain this. Maybe that's the case. And I'm telling you, it's based on some very interesting experiences I've had. I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I'll tell you, starting to feel unwanted. So, you know what? Why should I dedicate all my time, my energy, and everything else I can gather into this if it's not really something that's worthwhile? I know I got a core group of supporters who stick with me and have put money in and have made sure that they've supported any which way they can, but that little core is not growing anymore. And I don't know, maybe I just suck. How about that? That's a possibility. Maybe either I was never any good at this, or I've gotten bad at it because I've just I've been doing it too long, and I haven't evolved with the medium. And you know, you guys want to just hear from Sam Tripoli, and you guys just want to hear from Alex Jones, and you guys just want to hear from you know, the old men and the crazier young guys that are out there doing things a certain way. And that's really what's wanted here. And maybe there's no space for the philosophical oddity that I am. And maybe nobody cares about the JFK assassination anymore. And maybe nobody cares about the stuff I care about anymore. And if that's the case, maybe I got to find something else to do. That's all I'm saying. But that's just one thing. I also, again, like I said, no matter what, either way, if I quit next year, it'll be after I put in a decade and I can say, you know what, I gave it a run. And I'd like to do something to recognize that decade and to look back and create a retrospective about it. And that's another thing I want to vote from you guys on. So let's put on the back burner the should I or should I not even do this anymore, and maybe just set up a plan. Sunset this. It'll end on X date. Done. Maybe we should do that. Anyway, something to consider, but I've got better stuff for you to consider before we get there. And I know I've dominated the time here, and I want to turn it back over to B. Pete and also get to, looks like one caller hung up already. Sorry, dude. Call back in. You're going to have plenty of chance to interact and to get your two cents into this conversation. Also, don't forget, on Skype, you can join. But you have to send me a message and ask to be joined in. Plus, after the show, you can either email blindjfk. Matter of fact, I'll just give you the one email address. You know, if you're too lazy to you know, type it in, find the little email icon on Ocelli.com and send me an email. But otherwise, message me however you want. Twitter, Facebook, you know, or send an email to blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com, which also happens to be the PayPal address. And by the way, I'm not even going to do a pitch you know, for donations this week. I don't want to hear it at the end of the show. Sorry, I don't even want to do it, because the only time that ever works is when I tell the very close people that are directly associated with things and are active. The only time that works is when I say to them, hey, listen, man, I'm short on a bill. Help me out. And they do. And I love you for it. And there's a very special angel that always comes my way, which I mentioned on Jack Blood's show yesterday. Because even though I was sick as hell, Jack's guest didn't show up, and I filled in and did election analysis best I could, even though I was still feeling sick. Did that, and of course, at all times. Don't want to mention everybody's name, but I'll tell you something. Patricia B. has been with me for years and has never turned her back, even when she disagreed with me, even when she didn't necessarily like everything I was doing. She has been a friend and a supporter now for years, along with Mike Swanson, totally consistent with me no matter what befalls me. So I recognize and love you guys, and tell you the truth, I might just continue to do this kind of stuff for people like her, and maybe I go to a private situation like Maria Heller has. You got to be a subscriber to listen to her website. She's not trying to get out on radio. She's not trying to get out on 80 different platforms. She just does it for the small group of people that actually care. Maybe that's what I need to do instead of broadcast. If that's where we're going, maybe that's where we're going. But again, I got a more happy thing to talk about, but you know, if I suck and it's time to hang it up, I want to hear it. So that's where that's going. Anyway, B. Pete, I've now run my mouth plenty. I do have a caller on the line, so I turn it over to you for where it is you want to decide you want to go with this. We do have to take a break before we elaborate on the things I want specific votes on. But again, I'm going to let you sort of shape that a bit as we go. But I'm going to lay the premises on the table. And what do you think we should do? Caller, break? What do you want to do?
Let's go ahead and take a break, but you could bring the caller in so that they're on the line when we come back, and we'll just go with the caller as soon as we get back.
All right. And anybody else who calls, I'm going to bring you in too. So right now, on the line, I know who this is, and I know that it's probably a busy time for you. Love this. Glad you're calling in. Chris Graves, host of Get Mad with Chris Graves. How you doing, brother?
Well, I was doing better. Just don't do this, man. Please, don't do this.
Don't do what?
Not because you produced my show. I don't know what happened. I've been out of the loop for a little bit, but this is heartbreaking. So I don't know if you want to take your break or whatever, but my vote is please don't do this. That's all.
Okay, you're saying just don't put a sunset on the network? I mean, you'd have plenty of time to do a lot more shows, and who knows?
Yeah, don't call it quits. Don't call it quits, man. That's all.
All right. Well, look, don't get upset about it, bro. I promise you somebody else would be more than happy to do this with you. You've got a lot to offer, and I've been happy to do this with you.
No, it's not a selfish thing. It's not the fact that you helped me with my show. I know I can do that somewhere, anywhere, whatever. I'm just saying, like,
I mean, hell,
after 10 years, please don't throw in the towel. Throw in the towel. I know if I had the money, I would send it to you. I don't have money myself. So
dude, it's not just about money.
That's all I'm gonna say.
You know what? It's not just about money.
No, I know it's not.
And I appreciate your sentiment, but, you know, here's the thing. I would be willing to trade, to give to you, to train you, to help you to do everything on your own. If there's something you needed to learn, I'd give you anything you needed to make sure. So I wouldn't be like,
you know, I don't even care about
show.
Having the show, Chuck. I'm just saying for your network, I think it's important. It has nothing to do with me having a show or anything like that.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. I think it's important you still stay on somehow, and that maybe people pony up some kind of money somewhere.
Yeah, dude.
It has nothing to do with me. It's not a selfish thing at all.
Again, though, it's not the money. I mean, look, the money is necessary to keep running, but that's not the key thing. You know, the key thing goes way beyond that, and I appreciate it, bro. I hear your boat. But again, if it was partially because of your show, I would make sure in one way or another that you could get that done. One way or another.
It has nothing to do with my show. I'm talking about you as a broadcaster. It has nothing. It's not a selfish thing. It's not.
Okay.
It's you and what you contribute. And yes, people do still have an interest in the JFK assassination because that's where a lot of all this bullcrap started. So that's my vote.
I got you. And you know what? I'd love to involve you in the road trip too that we might plan for 2023 because they're going to do an in-person conference for Lancer. For the 60th anniversary.
Tell me in there, brother, if you'll have me.
Well, you know, what it might be, though, is we all meet there or we all meet somewhere and get on the road together and get there, and maybe we take over a section of a hotel, you know? And just kind of...
I'll figure it out. Don't worry about that. Count me in. If you have a spot for me, then count me in. And if you feel like I'm worthwhile, count me in, please.
Well, of course
I'd
you
be
are.
Honored.
Of course you are. I'm happy to have you along on the network and happy to have you along on the projects, man. I know you're doing something else, you know, right now on the West Coast and all, but I figure by then, by November of next year, you'll be available to, you know, travel to the conference if it comes up.
Chuck, West Coast, East Coast, I'll find a way to get, if you're in the middle of, Guatemala, I'll figure out a way to get there. Okay, brother, don't worry about that.
You never know. Guatemala might be a possibility. I don't know, man. Anyway, So, all right, I appreciate you. And anybody else wants to call in, 319-527-5016. So we're taking the call from Chris and getting that out of the way for now. But stick around, Chris, because I want your input on some other stuff, if you don't mind. And anybody else is welcome to do so, 319-527-5016. So my illustrious co-host, should we take a break now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get a break under that. Under our belts and out of the way, and we'll come back shortly and continue.
There it is. So the Ocelli Effect going to segment number two after we take a pause for some kind of cause here on Ocelli.com radio. Chris is with us. You can be with us too. 319-527-5016. Join us. Or, you know what? You can message me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. And I haven't even looked at the chat room. Hopefully you guys are in the chat. Let's put our heads together and get somewhere. All right, man, stick around. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
second segment of the live open mic Friday night of the Ocelli Effect begins now. Anyway, we are live at Ocelli.com and through your various radio apps and all that good stuff. Of course, most of you will catch this further on down the stream via your fondle site of choice, your applicable application, indeed your podcatcher du jour, because most of you do catch the podcast as opposed to the live show. Anyways, it is what it is. Happy to have you along, no matter who, where, or when you're listening. So, but as I speak, it is the 11th day of November, 2022. So, yeah, I'm thinking about this, awards thing. I want to address that first, basically. Chris put in a vote for Don't Quit, basically, as far as, putting a sunset on the network and myself or my show. You know, there's another possibility is I could just, stop doing my show and just produce other people. That's another possibility. But anyway. Whatever, we're not there yet, because I want to talk about this awards concept. I don't think I announced it on air yet. Yeah, I'm thinking that with 10 years in the bank of, you know, the various shows, there's been more than 2,000 podcasts, okay? I don't know how many guests there's been. Nobody's ever counted them up. But there's enough. There's enough there to say who was the best author as far as the show went. Who was the most interesting, I don't know, sales guy? Because I had a couple of people come on, and basically they were just here to sell something. Okay? And that's all it was. Who was the most interesting, you know, whatever? I mean, I would need your guys' help out there to create a set of categories. And then we'll crowdsource. We'll get nominations for, you know, hey, who was the best author? Well, I think this one, that one, the third one. Of course, you're going to have to be somewhat familiar with some different eras of the show, pretty much, because been through a few changes here. Different networks. It's almost always been 2 hours, but, you know, initially it was just a podcast, which I did myself, badly. And, you know, just teaching myself how to do it. I had Kim co-host, some of those initial podcasts. We tried to put them out there. I had a hard time putting them out there because I had no idea how to distribute anything. And then, you know, Jack Blood said, why don't you just go do it live? And by the way, I'll put you in touch with the radio network. And he did, and I did it. But I was only doing it one day a week. I was, working a full-time job way too often, you know, like 60, 70 hours a week of, you know, stupid work. Wasn't even a good job, dead end and all. And I was doing that mostly. And then on Saturday nights, I would do the show. A couple weeks later, I said, no, I got to have 3 days. And then a short time after that, I said, I got to do 5 days. And we've been running a 5-day-a-week show pretty much probably about 9 solid years, with the exception of a break here and there. So, you know, there's a lot of material there. There's a lot of possibilities. We could talk about, you know, what was the biggest story? What was the best 9/11? We could go with orientation, like what? Okay, who was the best JFK-related guest? Who was the best 9/11-related guest? Who was the best political guest candidate? We only have a handful of candidates that have ever been on the show. Probably they we would have to search through and figure out who was all on that was running for office for different things, but there's only a handful of them. There's well, you know, who was the you know, Jordan Maxwell. We could talk about, you know, like what would we categorize him as? He's got a sort of his own category. We could talk about the Greek. Yeah, go ahead.
You could all. I was going to say, you could almost name a special award after him to give one of your guests.
I think there should be a Jordan Maxwell Award, absolutely. An Ocelli Effect / Jordan Maxwell Award. That's a great idea. I'm going to write that down.
The Jordan Maxwell Award for best conspiracy guest or something, but make it the Jordan Maxwell Award.
Yeah, you're
right.
Put
some little prestige with it.
No, you're right. The Ocelli.com Jordan Maxwell Award. Yeah, which, and we'd have to come up with a criteria for that, an exact one. And then again, like I said, take nominations, right? So I think we should develop the categories here. I would love to do that over the course of the next, hour and 10? And I think B. Pete just hit a home run with the first one, the Jordan Maxwell Award. And we should determine that criteria very specifically. Go ahead.
How many shows did you, do you know, do you have a number that you actually did with him?
There are about, there's about 40.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was 25 of the dogmatic series, the religious dogmatic series.
Wondering, have to be a guest that could, I don't know, espouse knowledge of something at the level of Jordan Maxwell. I mean, somebody who was really in depth on what it was they were presenting to you. I don't know, almost your most philosophical guest. You think all the things that Jordan Maxwell covered.
Well,
know,
we could say that
you broke.
Yeah, the most. Right. I'm sorry. The most knowledgeable guest. We could say that that could be a category too. The most knowledgeable guest in their particular field, or we could choose a field. The most knowledgeable guest as revealed on the show, right? In a particular field, and we could separate it down. I mean, I'm thinking that we could carve it down to about a set of, say, 10 real solid awards. You know, keep the number going, right? 10 years, 10 awards. And, yeah, so, I mean, and easily, I've done plenty of shows on JFK, that's for sure.
Ocelli's best 10 out of 10. We'll just start promoting it that way. Your best 10 out of 10.
There we go. 10 out of 10 for 10 years. All right. See? B. Pete is brainstorming already. I'd like you guys to call in and join in on this discussion. By the way, Chris, any thoughts here on your side about categories and awards?
Best caller, Jimmy James. One of the worst guests, but most entertaining, Mr. Professor James Fetzer.
There you go. The most the worst appearance on the show, but most entertaining.
The James Award
could be the James Fetzer Award. Yeah, why not?
Lost the most in a recent court battle.
Well, now that's not fair.
Best co-host, Mr. BP and Nature Boy. And I just want to say thank you to Nature Boy for different reasons.
Awesome, man. Appreciate that. You know, it's funny, you're in his home state. You know, so I don't know, maybe he could direct you to some things you could use while you're out there. Right?
No, he's already helped me. No, I'd love to actually get to meet Christy Aphrodite, if that's possible at some point. But BP, I just wanted to apologize if I ever got in your nerves over the course of the last year, because I know my personality can be one way or the other and pretty grating. So, I mean,
I have to. There's really only one person on this show that ever got on my nerves, and he lives across the pond, so I don't worry about him too much.
Well, no, now wait a minute now. There's definitely another guy who got on your nerves before that I don't necessarily want to out right now, but guy who calls from America that has gotten on your nerves before.
Well, yeah, but I can tolerate that.
Okay, but all right, that's fine. But let's see.
I think you should have some kind of Maria Heller appreciation thing, though, and I'll stop interrupting.
No, definitely Maria Heller Award. Yeah, we could name these after different people that, you know, we'll just use their names and honorarium. I mean, just a handful. Not everybody gets an award named after them. But I think Fetzer, Heller, and Maxwell are definitely worthy.
Regardless of the results of the voting, I just said I wouldn't interrupt again. Sorry. How is this going to affect your audiobook / possible miniseries / movie in the future going forward?
Well, I don't know, because all I know about the audiobook is I'm going to complete it for, you know, the people that are sticking with it. And that's going to happen one way or the other. So, you know, even if I stop doing radio tomorrow, I'm going to finish the audiobook. But I'm not stopping radio tomorrow.
Good to hear, brother, because I think you have a very strong story to tell, and I was actually going to send you a copy of my book called Screenplay by Sid Field, which is the industry standard when it comes to creating screenplays that actually become productions.
Well, look, you know, if you get things rolling the way that that you want them to, I'll probably just need your help to write the screenplay. How about that? And, yeah, sure, I'll definitely read that book and learn along try.
I'm there with you, brother. We're in this together.
All right, so we'll try and create some screenplays for this, too, but I got to finish the audiobook first. And, yeah, so that's going to happen. All right, so far we've got the Maria Heller Award, the James Fetzer Award, and the Jordan Maxwell Award. You know, I hope nobody gets offended. I mean, Jordan can't, but, you know, I hope nobody gets offended, except maybe Fetzer. That'll be fine, with having an award named after him.
If we get him, I was getting ready to ask, you know, I don't want to throw any ringers in the bunch, but if somehow we were able to score him or like Judith Vary Baker in the next couple of months, you know, and they end up like your worst guest award, you know, would Jim Fetzer win his own award?
Well, I will offer to everybody who is nominated, you know, everybody who wins an award, I figure we can make them all have an appearance that night, and to accept their award. And I will literally mail them the award if they'll give me an address. Okay. To mail them the award, and I'll email them their graphic, and they can do with it as they please. So, and they can show up if they want to accept it, and if not, maybe we'll have some friends waiting in the wings to accept on their behalf.
I can picture Jay Fetcher's website with a little sticker over there that says, one of Ocelli's best 10 out of 10.
Show us the evidence, and then he goes and starts yelling some anti-Semitic stuff.
would he actually? Now that's a good question. Do you think if we named the award after him, and gave him the award, do you think he would post the graphic on his website? I think he would.
I think he would think it was a Zionist, some kind of Zionist propaganda tool or something. I don't know. Just
oh yeah, no, he'll join those
faded on his. We could have a faded Maltese cross or something, you know, in the background of the 10 best out of 10.
Well, look,
you
don't
know, something that.
We're gonna have to go. I'm gonna turn it over to an artist and ask them to create a universal design for the awards, but obviously there'll be different wording on them. But the thing is, I want to present it to him, and if he might put it up though, and maybe he'll start calling me Ocelliberg like they used to on that other, network. Well, dancing Israelis.
I would like to nail him down to an actual discussion on his particular court case and how it's an issue of free speech.
Yeah,
something
okay.
Simple, something that's, you know, controversial. It's his position. I'd love for us to be able to let James explain how slander and libel is free speech. I'd love
it. Okay. Well, look, I appreciate that, but that's not the topic at hand. I mean, we can offer that to him along with his award if he gets selected as an award winner. But I want to invite each of the award winners on the show to accept their award. And we can't, you know, ambush them with anything else. I mean, we're going to have to grant them, what shall we call that? Grant them immunity for the night from, like, just come and accept your award.
From persecution?
Yeah, immunity from persecution instead of prosecution. That's good. I like that. Immunity from persecution.
Well, Chuck, do you have anybody from Dealey Plaza when you would go down there and you would shoot videos? Do you have anybody, like any of these JFK researchers that are kind of, like, stuck in their ways, like maybe a Robert Rodin or something that you could give an award to, just out of curiosity?
Well, obviously, there's JFK people I can get in touch with one way or another and invite them in. And we're clearly going to have a JFK assassination research related award, but we got to nail it down. How do we do that? The best one that came on the show, somebody that presented the most interesting discussion. I mean, remember, I did a series with Larry Hancock on every one of his books, you know, so there's another one is what was the best series, right? Of shows, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we, because look, I did the Larry Hancock series, I did JFK Myths, I did the Jordan Maxwell.
I think you should have the best backward masking award, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, there's that. You know, look, we could get into what was the best little feud I had with somebody. There was that guy that I brought on the show because I called him racist and he got all bent out of shape and he came on. And then I said, well, you know what? I probably shouldn't have called you racist directly. there was that guy.
There's a woman that wanted to castrate you because you appreciated her very much, I think, right?
Yeah, but she wasn't a guest. So, you know, she wasn't a guest or a caller or a co-host. I got to have people that, you know, were active participants on the show one way or another. Right?
Okay, and, I got you.
And that's another thing, is we could have a vote about what the best podcast outside of the Ocelli Effect that was produced, right, disqualify my show, what was the best podcast produced by the network? Because there's a handful. We had the Jeffrey Matt Show. I did Porkins Policy Radio on here. I've done Jack Blood. I have your show. I have Aaron's two shows. Geez, who else did I produce? Let
me
see.
It's got to be Uncle. It's got to be hands down Uncle, in my opinion.
Well, dude, your opinion is one vote, right? So that's what I'm saying. You get a vote, everybody gets a vote. Very simple. You know, what else did I do? I had the Wall Street Window Digest for a little bit. You know. It's available. It's one of those things. I can't even remember every podcast. I think I just remembered. Well, there's Dylan Wade's, Popcorn Politics was another one I did. So I mean, I've produced a bunch of shows. We could have the best, just the best podcast.
Who was the gentleman that was, studying to be a lawyer and he would do like kind of pop culture stuff, 1 week and then like serious political things the next?
Yeah. Well, that was Dylan. That's what I just brought up. Dylan Wade. Who's only like 21 years old, 22 now, I think. He's going to law school right now, but he did Popcorn Politics, and one half of his show was a movie review, and the other half was what's going
on
in politics.
I went back and checked the archives before YouTube were a bunch of D-bags.
Yeah.
How is he doing? Do you still stay connected with him? And BP, were you a fan of that?
Well, B. Pete, what did you think of Dylan's show? Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I did.
I know he listened. I'll tell you, Dylan, I just was in contact with him yesterday, asking him if I could bring him on to, because a couple of people asked about an update on him to see what's going on, because he wound up on the Young Turks podcast a couple of months back. I don't know if you know what the Young Turks is, Chris. You've heard of them?
I've heard of them, and I've watched in the beginning, like, about 10 years ago, I believe. But then I heard some shit going on. So I kind of kept my distance. Just, there's only so many hours in the
day. Yeah.
But, I also, the people on the Union of the Unwanted, there were a lot of that. There was an association there, too, with you, Chuck.
Okay. Well, you know what? No, the Young Turks was is a like a left wing, a fairly popular like a liberal podcast thing, pretty big, and they brought him on there because he's
with Cenk Unger, right?
I can't remember those people's names. They're douchebags. The only thing I ever enjoyed from them is when they confronted Alex Jones. I thought it was kind of funny.
Right. I didn't want to say it, but I thought you were like, yeah, I'm a big supporter, and I didn't want to say anything. Yeah, I've heard they are douchebags. Yeah, they're Unger and co.
Whatever, they're douchebags, but you know what? Everybody's got their space, and they had a whole thing where Alex Jones and Roger Stone went and, like, like jumped onto their set and started invading their podcast. but they're fairly popular, left wing.
You for real? Is that still available? Because I've never heard of that before. I should have.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. But anyway, they're oh, yeah. fairly big names in like liberal podcasting, as much as that's a thing. And they brought Dylan on as a guest because he's a you know, because he's a handicapped person advocate, and he's also in a wheelchair. You know, actually doesn't he's like what do you call that, quadriplegic, I guess. He can kind of move his head. He doesn't move much else.
You wouldn't know that from listening to the podcast that that you produced for him, right? Because he's just being, you know, himself, and I really respect that.
Well, right. I mean, and actually, I was kind of mentoring him because he had done podcasts before that, and some people just wanted to focus on the fact that he was in a wheelchair and all that. And I said, screw that. Let's just do this. You want to do this for real? Let's do it. And I was coaching him on his delivery and all that stuff, and I feel as though I helped him along with his presentations and all that. And you know, look, I don't accept whining or excuses for if you got a handicap, because I got a handicap, and you know, it is a thing, it's a constant, but you know, it's not the focus, and it's not, oh, poor me, and oh, but give me special treatment. It's not about special treatment or anything when it comes to...
You know something, Chuck? I always am guilty if I forget that you have, like, a vision impairment, and because it never comes across to me like you have a disability whatsoever. So that says a lot, in my opinion.
Good. But again, that's what I'm after, and he was real happy to do it with me because I had that attitude, honestly. So, so that helped. You know, I also produced the Donald Jeffrey Show. So you guys could vote and tell me that the Donald Jeffrey Show was the greatest podcast I produced outside of my own. You know, because again, I just disqualify my own.
He still appreciates you, Chuck, too. Well, so there's no bad blood there as far as I can see.
You know, either way, it is what it was. So anyhow, we do have some other...
There was a podcast that I had issue with that had something to do with the Beatles and sometimes JFK, but I can't remember what it was, and maybe that's a good thing, but...
Bob Wilson.
That's
all
I'll say about that.
I know you had a personal problem there, but I did produce Bob Wilson's show for a little while until he decided I was in league with Satan. So, you know, just saying... You could decide that was the greatest show ever.
We're all heathens, yeah. Chuck. We're all heathens.
Could be. He just might be right. But anyway, whatever. It's one of those other things. Like I said, Jeffrey Matt only actually did, four shows? It turned, you know, it was okay. He was doing it once a month. It was the Jeffrey Matt Show. I don't know, maybe that's somebody's favorite out there. You guys could let me know. See, that's the thing. You vote on it. We could put all those podcasts on a list. That's not hard to come up with nominations. We could just list everybody. Tell me which one you think is the best, you know. But I think we should put it out as online polls.
Chuck, and I keep digging in here, but I had wished that you and Dave McGowan had a couple of hours to shine together. And I don't know, is there some kind of backstory that maybe... Did that almost happen, or am I just imagining things?
No, you're not imagining things. That almost happened. It's just that he got ill and was too ill to work things out with me. And then he got better for a little bit, and I didn't get back around to him as I should have, but he was busy, a lot of stuff. And,
Were you a fan of Maria's show with him, Send In the Clowns, like I was? That guy meant a lot to me.
I'm not a huge fan like you are, but I appreciate it, Dave. He was a nice guy and everything, and some of his research is very interesting. But I'm not as big a fan as you are, I'll be honest.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, I mean, but, I had respect for him, decent guy, and all that, yeah.
I just put the link to the coverage of Alex Jones and Roger Stone interrupting the Young Turks at the Republican National Convention.
There you go.
Thank you, BP. That is awesome. BP, what was your favorite Ocelli Network show?
Okay, listen, Chris, I gotta put you on pause because I now have two callers backed up behind you, and I want to get to them. Okay, so
no apologies, sir. I am sorry.
No need for apologies. Just chill for a little bit. We'll get you back in for sure. But I want to. I hate having people sit on hold forever. It used to piss me off on certain other people's shows, Jack Blood. That they would just leave me sitting on hold sometimes because, you know. Anyway, let's get to the first caller and see what he's got to say. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing okay.
Everybody knows. This is Jimmy James. The legendary Jimmy James.
It is.
So, Jimmy, you've been listening to the conversation, yes. I hope.
Yeah, I vote no on anyone quitting any shows.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I think I have to agree with Chris.
Well, fair enough. What about the awards and stuff? Do you have an award idea or something like that?
Well, it won't need to be awards if you don't quit.
Well, but yeah, I could make it I could make it the last show, Jimmy James. Like, here's the final show, the 10 out of 10 awards for Ocelli.com.
I don't know. John Barber's name would be a good one for humor. Maxwell would be a good name for philosophy.
Well, we don't have to name them after something. Like I said, we could go for a general category, like, easy ones to pick are who was the best guest I ever had on for 9/11 or JFK or something like that. But, I mean, I've done a lot of different stuff, not just, not just those two categories, obviously, and not too many 9/11 shows in the past couple of years at all. I've covered news stories. We could have something like that. What was the most interesting, say, newsmaker that I had on? Which, there used to be a handful of those that I used to get. Reality Winner's mom came on the show. Who else was on that was like the guy who got thrown out of the Trump rally? For holding up the Epstein sign. I had on the progressive liberal wrestler, right, from the Independent Wrestling League. That guy, he was popular for a minute. The double rainbow guy, right? Bear Vasquez. These guys were newsmakers in one way or another, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
If you got any other award ideas, that'd be great.
No, I don't know about the awards. I don't even like talking about this closing the show idea. I want to change the subject.
Okay. So you go ahead and change the subject, but I do have another call waiting. I'm going to get to them next, so go ahead.
No, yeah, this lawsuit that Simpich and them filed, it's doomed. You realize that, right?
Oh, Bill Simpich with the... Yeah.
You can't sue a sitting president for anything that he's done while being president. So it's going to get tossed out the minute they hand it to the judge, sadly.
Well, see, I don't know if that's just... Okay, to my understanding, and I may be wrong, but to my understanding, that's just Justice Department policy, but that doesn't mean that you can't sue or you can't attempt to. You can attempt to sue anybody you want. But then they can attempt to sue Biden and the administration. I have no objection to it. I don't know if it's doomed or not. I say whatever, man, whatever we can do to get these people to comply with the damn laws they write in the first place is nice. So, I don't object to Simpich doing it. I don't know how successful he's going to be because, as per usual, no matter what pressure or anything else, I mean, we can pressure Congress to do stuff sometimes. But actually pressuring the president, I don't know. I share your lack of what should I say? Your lack of
optimism.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I share that with you, but I say give it a shot anyway.
Yeah, I just would rather, like I was telling Graves one day, hi, Graves. Chris, what's up? Hope you're doing good.
Hey, buddy, I don't know if I'm muted, but you're awesome, dude.
No, well, thank you. You're pretty awesome yourself.
See, and there's another category. Somebody said we should call the Jimmy James Award for the best caller. Right? So we could have the best caller.
I think I was one of those. 1,000% the number one caller in history of any broadcast.
There you go. And Jimmy, I love the fact that you call into almost any show I've had. I don't think you've missed a show that you could call in on. You've nailed, you know, not saying you call in on every single show, but every show has gotten a call from Jimmy James that's been on the network. So I really appreciate that, by the way.
No, well then.
Anyways, I don't feel optimistic. Yet.
Donald Jeffrey still asks how Jimmy James is doing. So cool. There you go.
Very cool.
I really. He's a good guy.
Anyways,
These lawyers would get together,
right?
Because Oswald, as far as I know, still has charges. Now, it's just a procedural thing. It'd be the easiest thing in the world. I don't know why Mark Lane and all these guys didn't go in, because you'll recall at the midnight press conference.
Well, you can't charge a dead man. He doesn't have charges.
Hold on, yeah, exactly, like that. Aaron Hernandez situation.
Well, here's the thing.
So
it's an open homicide. It's actually just an open homicide. Well, you know, the Dallas police officially closed it.
Aaron Hernandez, the New England Patriots guy, because I actually drove by him when the helicopters were filming him being sent to Cedar Junction in Walpole, Mass. Is that what you're talking about, the Patriots guy?
Well, look.
Yeah, one of the reasons he committed suicide was so that his family could get his benefits, and because he wouldn't have gotten them had he been convicted of murder. However, because he died before he was technically convicted, they did get the pension. Now, in Oswald's case, what I'm saying is the man had charges. They said, you have been charged.
Yeah, they charged him.
And this stuff's still pending. Now, it's just a technical thing, but someone needs to go and have that stuff dismissed, and who knows, maybe you'll get a friendly judge, maybe he'll let you...
But that's the thing.
Evidence.
Well, but that's the thing.
James, he was actually looking for representation.
There is, yeah. Okay.
New York, right?
But as we stand, there is no charge against Oswald. It's not sitting on the record like an open charge. It's gone. That is vacated once he's dead. Yeah, that's vacated once he's dead. It's still an open homicide because nobody's been convicted of it. It wasn't cleared, but then the DPD closed it as an investigation a couple of years ago. But the thing is, you can't have charges leaning against somebody who's dead. That's over. That's over the moment he's dead.
Was closed only a couple of years ago? What are you talking about, Chuck?
Yeah, it sat as an open homicide. I mean, a couple of years ago. I'm exaggerating. I mean, we're talking about it was still an open homicide in the 90s. So somewhere.
Oh, I thought you meant like literally like 2 or 3 years ago.
Nah, like maybe 20 years ago, but still it sat there as an open homicide because it had never been cleared technically. But Oswald's charges evaporated the moment he was declared dead. So that was the end of that. There's no charges sitting there. It's just a matter of you have a, you know, you'd have to introduce this stuff to a grand jury, which, by the way, Simpich also and some of these other guys have tried to do.
I thought it was some revelation that they finally, like the Justice Department in, like, 2020 or something, like, finally cleared it up.
No, but in sometime in the 2000s, they did close it, and now they refer you to the Justice Department because they have all the evidence. And the funny thing is that they don't actually have jurisdiction over it because it was still, as of that time, a homicide that would be handled by the District Attorney of Dallas, which they have closed the investigation. That's the end of it. It's just, that's all there is. It's still, technically speaking, it could be opened as a homicide once again. But, you know, at this point, you'd have to bring it to, like, a grand jury and get them to hear it. Which, you know, somebody would have to do in Dallas, as far as I know. But again, I'm not a legal scholar.
Yeah, Thomas Arthur Valley, he's long gone as well, so we can't get him to be under deposition.
But also, there's no proof. No proof he was in Dallas.
For a fact that
All right.
Now, wait a minute. Even if he is dead, you could get a Texas judge to have his charges rescinded.
Yeah, but they're gone already, Jimmy James. Anyways, let me put you guys on hold. Let me put both of you guys on hold because I want to get to this other caller, and I don't want them sitting there waiting for no reason. So let's get to the other caller, and I'll bring everybody back on the line in a minute because they've been waiting long enough. You're live, and love to hear from you. How you doing?
I was really enjoying that conversation, Chuck. This is number 6 from the New Prisoners Podcast.
Oh, hey, man. How you doing?
Not too bad, brother. I was really enjoying this, like, information about the JFK assassination because this month I was looking to have some people on to talk about it. And it's funny that Chris messaged me earlier and was telling me to, call in and give my 2 cents about, you know, what's going on with your network and everything. And I was going to say, man, like, I'm a huge fan of Get Mad with Chris Graves, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But any of the shows there or any, like, your shows and stuff, listen to your show before, I'm willing to cross-promote on all of my platforms, any of the, you know, podcasters, yourself, and of course, Chris is always welcome on my show. Anything that I can do to help promote your network, man, anyone that I can help out, having on as guests, and I would love to actually have you on with Don Jeffries and Chris's friend Steve Cameron to talk about the JFK assassination sometime this month as it's a big anniversary too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really cool.
Well, you know, and next year will be the 60th. This year is the 59th. So, you know, here we go. Just let me know if you want me to appear over there and discuss whatever part of the case. More than happy anytime. I'm going to participate in the Lancer conference this year a little bit virtually, but we're thinking about having like a little group effort where we all get together and go down to Dallas next year because they're going to do it in person again.
I think that's great, man. I'm glad that people are still, like, keeping up with that story because it's so impactful. Like, Chris talks about it all the time on my show of just, like, and Dawn as well, of just, like, how the world basically changed at that moment. And the use of, you know, fear-based psychological trauma-based mind control and those types of things and just, like, the structure of our society and who is in charge basically changed, so... I think it's just, it would be such a fascinating conversation to get a group of you guys together and just hear what you have to say and preserve it for posterity too. I think that what you do with the network is awesome because like all the conversations that you get to have get to stay for people that are discovering those stories and history and like future generations too. Like my kids and my grandkids will be able to hopefully find, you know, the information that you guys are making and putting out now. And learning about those things from the people that are going to know more, a lot more about it than probably a history book or anything else in the future from the way things are going in education now. So, man, I just really appreciate the work that you do.
Well, look, man, I really appreciate that, Six. Great. What can I say? This is really why I was upset about the YouTube channel going down because I had so much different stuff on there that I thought was useful and was going to be preserved for some time. I had plenty of witnesses to history on there and things that, you know, you couldn't find anywhere else. I even posted some stuff that, you know, like NBC doesn't necessarily want you to have when they did that whole 2-hour thing on Jim Garrison. I had, you know, yeah. I was one of the first people to put that out on the internet, and that was on my channel. You know, the whole white paper and his response.
I got booted off of YouTube too. Like, yeah. I lost my YouTube channel this past month as well. So they're coming after all of us, brother. Like, they really are. But I mean, from the start, and I haven't been doing this nearly as long as you. But a year into it, when I started out, now that I sort of developed my BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, and I'm also on Brighteon too. Mm-hmm. Those video platforms, do not censor nearly, they do censor somewhat, right? But they don't censor nearly as much as YouTube. Mm-hmm. Now there isn't as much of an audience on those, but collectively when you put them all together, I do get way more numbers than I ever got on YouTube while I was active on there. And YouTube actually struck me down after months of inactivity. I just left episodes on there, and they started giving me community strikes. Right. And I just took the stance on it that I'm not going to remove anything. We don't do apologies on my show. We do corrections, but if I'm wrong on something, I'll correct it. But we don't kowtow to the global corporatist oligarchy at the New Prisoners. So right. they took our YouTube channel. But we're still going strong on the other ones, and we're looking to get started on Rockfin possibly. But I'll say this, man, like, if you need somebody to help you navigate those different platforms, like BitChute especially, we get a lot of traffic on, and I think that your type of material would do really well on BitChute, because that's, I have a lot of people that come to me from BitChute because they watch a lot of documentaries like I do that are on there, and other historical things. And that's where I met my friend Silas Guthier, Silas Speaks, who talks about ancient history and gematria and modern politics and all that stuff. So I think you'd be right at home there with those types of folks. And if you need any help developing those pages, or, you know, getting things together, uploading thumbnails, stuff like that, Chris knows that. That's what I do, and I'm actually looking to start my own production company, helping other people that need, you know, that want to be a creator or want to do a podcast or something like that, but help them to get their stuff out there. And I've even talked to Chris about doing that with his show, because, like, you guys get a good amount of reach, I'm sure, through Spreaker and having the website and everything. That's great. But there's a lot of people that are going to video platforms now for this type of information. And if there's anything I can do to help you out in that regard, man.
Pointers
or anything.
Well, listen, you can go ahead and take a look. I had a BitChute account for a while, but I only just got active on it. And I do have somebody helping me with it a bit. But I've got a few things up on that channel. I'll tell you, though, if you want to take Chris's, all of his shows, I'm not holding anything from anybody. Take all of his shows and post them up on BitChute. If you want to post them under your network, go ahead. Yeah. If you want to put them up on Rumble, go at Rumble. I have not figured out. But BitChute, I have BitChute and Vimeo.
Yeah, we'll be live streaming on Rumble and Odyssey soon, yeah.
Right.
Especially if you want to do live. Like, you can do live really easily on Rumble and Odyssey. I set it up through a program called OBS Studio, which I could give you an entire guide on how to set up if you need to, because
yeah,
I just went through it myself.
That's been a little bit of trouble for me, and that's the thing, is that, Rockfin, I'm working on that too. So right now what I'm working with is Rockfin, Vimeo, and BitChute. Look, if you want to take a look at what it is I'm doing, tell me what I'm doing wrong. By all means, please, because I can use advice, help, whatever. And take Chris's shows and go ahead. I mean, as long as he's cool with, let me put him back on the line, actually. Take Chris's shows and I'm putting
and
him.
I would always give you full credit as the producer on that show, man. That's something that, like, where I come from, like, we always credit people. And that was a big thing with our friend Gary McBride, too, Chris and I.
Well, I appreciate
making sure he got credit for his work. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate it. But spread his show any which way you can. Yeah,
I love you both. I love you both, and I want to take Chuck with me. And especially if he's going to say farewell to his network, which I really hope that's not the case. I'm a technocratic idiot, so I'm trying to surround myself with people that are very, very smart. Like Mr. Ocelli and Mr. Six and John Henry and Gary McBride just lost his house, and he's trying to get the truth out. So I'm just honored to be, like with Donald Jeffries and Tony Arterburn and Billy Ray Valentine and Chuck Wachelli and Six. I just, I'm getting emotional right now, but I just, any help that I can get getting some kind of truth or entertainment out to the average person that, you know, may need a little, either a little bit of truth or a little bit of entertainment in their lives, mm-hmm. just to, alleviate some of the pain and misery that this reality, has. I'm just glad you guys are talking. That's all. I'm going to mute myself right now.
Hey, man.
Cool.
That's why we do this, brother.
Exactly.
And like we say it on the show all the time, but Chris, you're a huge part of that. Like the levity that you bring to our conversations, like the stream of consciousness and the humor that you and I can connect with. And I'm sure it'd be great to have Chuck on to talk about Motorhead because I love Motorhead.
Sure.
Chuck almost replaced Gigi Allen. That's a whole story unto itself. And
yeah.
I'm so like honored to know Chuck too. I just want to say that.
Yeah, that's true. I was almost the replacement there with the Murder Junkies. That's true.
Holy cow, my mind is blown, brother. That's amazing, dude.
Chuck, I want to bring you with us, brother. Seriously, if you're going to go on to another chapter of your research in your life, like I feel like maybe you felt like maybe I wanted to leave you behind a while ago, and that's not the case. I want to bring you on, brother.
But here's the thing. I just want you to know, no matter what, I want to see you succeed. So if that's without me, that's cool. You know what I'm saying?
I want to see you succeed, too, because you've been at this a lot longer than me, man. And we both deserve some kind of happiness and peace. That's all.
Well, look, I can't argue with you there. But
yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, I just I work with people. But I work with people that I just want to see them succeed. You know, that's my main goal. And anyway. Do take a look at that.
That's why I'm emotional right now, because as much as we have talked before, I know that we've had our, you know, we both have things going on, but I want you to keep going, man, seriously, because like what do they say about jaws, about sharks? If they stop moving, they just die. And that's the truth, brother, and I want you to keep going, man.
And they swim in fish poop. There we go.
There you go.
But no,
they just reproduce and they swim in their own crap. Like, I don't get it.
Swim and eat.
I was going to say, too, I've heard rumor of memoirs being recorded. I won't go in any further in case you're keeping all that under wraps, my friend.
No.
But I will also volunteer if you need any audio production stuff. I'm your man. I got you.
Well,
if you ever need
Mr. Ocelli's story puts Goodfellas and all these other, what's the other, Bronx Tale? Like, just from the little nuggets I've heard, like, it would make a fantastic miniseries on some kind of platform that maybe doesn't even exist yet.
I was already in,
and then you said Gigi Allen, and I was just like, now I'm definitely in.
I haven't even gotten to the part where I do mute. Look, I recorded up to chapter 6, and it's going out for subscribers that specially subscribe to it right now, because it's in rough draft form.
Awesome. I need to catch up, too, because I was a part of this series, and then my own screw-ups in my own life.
I'm hoping
to catch up and be a part of it some more. So.
Well, yeah, let's do that soon, because, I mean, I'm still recording it. I'm still working on it. Look, it's a catharsis that's kind of difficult for me at certain points, but...
This guy was able to get to, like, fourth base or, like, I don't know, what is it, like, right field or something? I'm not a sports guy, but across from the camp that Friday the 13th was filming in the fall of 1979. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, as a horror fan, I was like, derp.
Well, I was there in the summer because the blind camp, that's the truth, the blind camp is just down the road from the Boy Scout camp in Rockaway, New Jersey. And so, I just did a chapter on this. Chapter 5, I think, is about the blind camp. And, Indeed, that is just a footnote to
people
that.
People have to sign up to that, Chuck. How do we sign up? How do we find out the offices that is the blind camp across from Camp Nobi Bosco, where Friday the 13th was put down in movie history?
Well, look, there's a level on my Patreon. If you sign up for it, you get that through there. And also, there's a way to sign up for it on the website. But, you know, it's the only money that's probably I'm ever going to make from it, so I figure whatever. And I'm not, you know, it's a lot of work.
No, not if you're with me, buddy. I keep interrupting you, but you know what? I was meant for something greater than stepping in dog poop with my boots all the time. And I'm going to make a whole bunch of horror movies and other type of movies. And I'm hoping that this is one of them. This will be one of them, as long as you're on board. It's six. Do you agree?
Oh, heck yeah. And if you need somebody to do some music for you or any audio production, you know I'm in.
I would love all that, because I really do think that my life story could easily be a Netflix or an HBO series without a problem, because it's very weird and goes a lot of places.
100%. You know, even better, even platforms that don't exist yet. I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm privy to a bunch of stuff that the public hasn't even heard yet. And
yeah.
Believe me, I have a nose for this. I mean, I don't have a face for, what is it, TV or radio or something, but I just know in my heart of hearts that this is a story to be told.
I definitely have
I know where Chris's nose has been. So.
Well, there you go. Listen, now it's getting weird. I've got a face for radio. It's okay. You know, look, it's just that my story, I never thought it was remarkable, by the way. It's just by telling a couple of people a few things privately that I said, well, you know what, maybe my story's interesting, but I never thought it was, because I lived it. It's
a lot of lessons to be learned, my friend, and there's a lot of entertainment value, and not to come at the expense of your pain or whatever, but just like my story, your story, a lot of people can learn from. That's
well,
all.
You know, there's probably a Lifetime movie in there too somewhere. just saying, there's one of those. You know, do they make those anymore?
Television for women. That should be a real romp. Sorry, now you're going to get a lot of hate letters.
It's okay. Now, believe me, I chased the women listeners away a long time ago. But
some of them wanted to castrate you. And
they
I was
did.
Like, what is going on here?
They did. It's okay. The thing is that, what was the old joke? Lifetime television for women, because men are terrible and they will hurt you. You know, I could definitely do one of those.
Yeah, they will hurt you and they will make you like Jodie Foster in the movie Carney with Gary Busey. Oh, my God, gulp.
Oh, well, it's either that or what was that, The Accused? Or she's on the pinball machine or whatever. Anyway. Whatever.
We won't go there.
hey, there's a story in your neck of the woods, right? Isn't that like Boston?
Well, with David Brink, with what's to say that Shot Reagan is trying to start a new political party?
No, not that guy. I mean, the whole thing where, wasn't it The Accused where, I don't know, isn't it Jodie Foster who gets thrown, maybe it's a different actress, gets thrown up on the pinball machine and they violate her in the bar? Wasn't that her, or was that somebody else?
Kills her daughter or something. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up.
No, it's not the killing the daughter thing. She got raped, and then there was a whole thing about it, and it was a real story. But anyway, it was craziness.
Yeah, that was the plot to Troll 2, directed by John Carl Beekler, but he's passed away since.
Oh, jeez. I lose control of my show every time Chris calls in. I love this. B-Pete, you know, are you falling asleep over there? How you doing?
Just watch Halloween Ends. Halloween Ends is the movie Christine, but with Michael Myers.
Oh, my God.
I was actually searching whether Oswald still had any charges pending on him.
Oh, well. You never know where any of this is going to go on a Friday night.
I've been to his grave, and he's actually buried next to a performance artist that bought the grave because he felt bad for Oswald. That's all.
Wow. That was
Judith very fake trying to buy that plot next to her.
I thought she was. You know, it's interesting. I also had that clip, the TV news clip on channel. I had the TV news clip on my channel from when they exhumed him, you know, all those years ago, which is a crazy story in and of itself. The exhumation, when did that happen? In like 78 or 80, somewhere in there?
We had a whole conversation about it over the summer while I was drinking a lot of Jim Beam, kind of like tonight. And it was in 1981. And you told me that they actually videotaped that. And you are someone that is described like Charles Ochelli. Actually was able to watch this videotape.
This is an interesting thing, as I know for a fact that they did videotape the proceedings when they redid the autopsy. And that tape was supposed to only go to certain people, and a copy did go to Marina Oswald Porter, but I had to verify for somebody that wasn't the only copy, because literally they gave her a copy of a copy.
You talked to her on the video? Have you talked to her on the phone, Chuck? Because I talked to her for about 2 minutes, and she wanted nothing to do with me.
Yeah, well, that's generally been her attitude since the 1990s, which would be the last time that I actually had any sort of conversation with her. Which is why I was surprised Jesse Ventura even got her to talk to him when he did his TV show, but... You know, it's Jesse, so...
Yeah, but it wasn't on video. It was, like, behind the curtains, and he just relayed what she said.
Yeah, I think they kept the camera at the property line or something. It was like, you could just, like... I think you could see, like, hers and his feet at the pool. I think that you could just, like, see their feet at the pool, sitting in chairs next to the pool, like, from the property lines.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the conspiracy theory episode from 2010 or something? Yeah. Then it was the same episode where St. John Hunt was talking to Jesse about his father, E. Howard Hunt's deathbed confession, which apparently there's a lot of people that dispute that whole thing.
Well, because A, it wasn't done on a deathbed, and B, you know, St. John is a little dubious with some of his motivations for doing certain things. So, you know,
talked to him as well. Yeah, I don't know what to think about him. Yeah, I mean, you would know because you are an actual JFK research expert.
Okay, well, I don't even know if I would accept that title, but I do know a bit more than the average.
Well, you talked to half of the Dallas police force, man. Like, you deserve a lot of credit.
No, I did not talk to half of them. I talked to maybe 20% of them, because there was about 1,000.
Yeah, but almost half. Maybe 25, 30%, maybe?
About 20%. Larry Sneed talked to a lot more of those guys. There's a name you guys don't even know.
What's his face? What's the guy the cop that got killed, like... It was probably a love affair and had nothing to do with JFK. J.D. Tippit.
Well, Tippit. Yeah, Tippit's... Well, there's a lot of possibilities with what happened to Tippit, actually. But, you know, look, that would be the
I'm
next
just
book.
That people don't give you a lot of credit. And you want to know something? You deserve a lot of credit, buddy. And as long as I'm still breathing, which, who knows? I feel like I have a tumor in my face right now. No joke. I'm going to get the word out that you had a different perspective on this, buddy.
Well, let's not wish tumors on anybody, but you know, look, man, I appreciate all this.
No, really,
I
was just shaving, and I was like, oh my god, I got this lump on my face. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I've totally lost control of this, BP. Where are we at with all this?
That is all on you.
I love you, man.
I know. All right. Well, look, I'm gonna make things even more chaotic. We'll bring Jimmy James back in, but I want to remind people. Actually, you know what? I'm not gonna bring Jimmy back in just yet, because I'm gonna take a break. And yeah, we're gonna do that because I need a breather. Anyway, the Ochelli Effect will continue for a little while after we take this short break, and maybe I'll turn everything over to my co-host, BP. Chris, I really appreciate you, man. The energy you bring is too much. Jimmy James, 6 is on the line. And you, the listener out there right now, if you're hearing us live on the 11th day of November 2022, you can call in 319-527-5016 and join the conversation. 319-527-5016 or reach out to me, Charles Dottocelli, on Skype, and I can call you into the show. Stick around. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
David, this might seem a bit hyperbolic, but I promise you, without you, I'm not sure what I would do. I know few things to be true, and that's certainly one of them. I don't know where in the world I would be without you, babe. Every time I close my eyes, all I can visualize is you, babe. The gratitude that I have for you, I don't think you have a clue, babe. To wake up to your kiss, there's simply nothing that I wouldn't do, babe. You have to understand you fill my world with happiness I truly never knew, babe. I'm stuck like super glue to all the beautiful things that you do, babe. There isn't a chance in hell I would tell you a thing that isn't true, babe. Honey, love, I'm sure my love for you is pure and deeper than the ocean blue, babe, 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 babe. My world is empty without you, babe. Your observations are immaculate. That's why I covered your analysis. My ears without your voice will leave my spirit in paralysis. There's nothing in the world that I can think of that's analogous. The comfort of your touch is more medicinal than cannabis. You are the catalyst of everything that's fabulous. If I'm a diplomat in this, then you are my ambassadress. We could take a survey and I would glad insist. It would be unanimous among all of the panelists. You would be voted the most magnanimous. High-minded and noble, the opposite of scandalous. Living in this complicated matrix, I love your high-handedness. The way you deconstruct and dismantle it. Your etymological prowess, it is cancerous. To the high priest of the linguistic establishment. Your companionship to me is nothing short of a sacrament. And I would never do nothing to vanish it, because
my world is empty without you, babe.
Everything would disappear.
My world is empty without you, babe.
Yeah, I gotta make it crystal clear.
My world is empty.
Woman, I don't place nothing above it.
My world is empty without you, babe.
You're the center of my world, that's why I love it.
My world is empty without you.
Every day I'm so thankful that I found you.
My world is empty without you.
All I wanna do is build it all around you.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JP Sicilian and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have okay. No idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my
carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles are just really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Ocelli.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Show.
TheOcelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
So, third segment of the Ocelli Effect, the open mic Friday night, is happening now if you're hearing us live on the 11th day of November 2022. And we're going to take it to, about 15 minutes from now. I guess about 10 after we'll go if you're hearing us live. And if you're hearing the podcast, it doesn't matter. We got about 15 minutes left, or 14 now, left in the show. So there you go. Anyway, we do have Jimmy James with us. We have Chris Graves with us. Six called in, but he dropped off the call. And we are joined via Skype by somebody who's in another time zone for sure. I think it's Saturday where you are. Ray from Down Under, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm going good, Chuck. Just finished work. Like, literally got into my car and hit you up.
Ah, great. It's good to hear from you. Full credit where credit needs to be given. It is Ray who has been assisting me. We brought up the BitChute channel a little earlier in the discussion with Six, and Ray has been helping me out with that, and that's why the BitChute channel is even a thing at this point. Really appreciate it. You helped me save a bunch of stuff from YouTube before they deleted me. So big ups, man. Thank you so much for that, and glad to hear from you. So I want to get your views about awards and stuff, if you feel like it, and if not, man, speak your piece, whatever's on your mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got an idea for an award, a Motormouth Award, for anyone that can outpace Chuck while on the call. So I guess Chris automatically gets a nomination.
Somebody who can overwhelm me running my mouth, huh? I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. The Motormouth Award. Let me write that down. Motormouth Award. That's beautiful. I love it. Jimmy James has a style which is much more relaxed. I think he's still on the call. And he never overwhelms anybody. But he lands those punches, you know what I mean? Like the pugilist that picks his spots, you know what I'm saying? So I love that. I'm like the constantly busy pumping the jab in your eye guy when it comes to boxing. But, Jimmy James is that land a shot and make it count guy. Chris definitely can, swarm people though, all by himself. So I love that. That's a great idea, Ray. Anyways, what else you got on your mind, brother?
What was I going to say? I had something lined up, now I've forgotten.
No worries. Look, I want to turn over control for the last little part here to as much as control can be had, to my co-host BP, who has gotten barely a word in since the call started. Sorry about that, brother. But it's been entertaining so far, hasn't it, BP?
Yeah, it has. It has been an interesting conversation. Where's Nature Boy tonight?
I have no idea.
Surprised he didn't call in.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. Got Jimmy here.
And is anybody from? Has anybody
was that
heard
Jimmy?
From Vance or has anyone heard from Vanarchy or Spam Kent? Because I haven't heard them for like a couple months.
You know, I'm surprised we haven't heard from Vance lately. I think he was busy with some family stuff, but, you know, he was a regular caller on Fridays too, and, also had that segment on Mondays, but I put Monday's show on pause for a little while to do the audiobook recordings, which I still have a bunch of stuff to catch up to, and Chapter 7 is coming soon, but.
I think I chased him away. Again, apologies.
No, you didn't, and believe me, you can't chase Spent Kent away. Actually, that would be an interesting duel, between Spent Kent when he's, had some beers and, Chris when he's had some Jim Beam. What do you think about that one, B. Pete? Wouldn't that be an interesting matchup?
We have to do that on a Thursday night.
Thursday. B. Pete says, not my night. I love it. Oh, that's great.
B. Pete doesn't like me, and I don't blame him.
B. Pete never said, wait a minute, B. Pete never said, and believe me, if B. Pete didn't like you, he'd tell you.
yeah. let you know if we'd like it. But I mean, that would be, cause that show, I mean, we could debate, we could, you know, discuss the tactics on the Friday night show, but it would have to be on Thursday night.
Okay. Well, you know what? The next time, Mike took the week off this week, and next week we do have Larry Hancock returning to the show on a regular basis. So we're going to have Larry and Mike back on Thursday. But one of those weeks where we don't have Mike and Larry, we could definitely have the Thursday night fight, if you will. Who did we say?
Well, we'd have to pick a topic. Yeah. Or we'd let each of them start with their own topic, and they'll just argue it out to see which topic becomes the topic of conversation.
It'd be so great to hear Sped Kent, though, just...
Conspiracy Death Jam.
It would be hilarious, though, because Sped Kent would start about the, you know, about being a bard and kayaking, and the next thing you know is, I mean, Chris would throw in horror movies, and I would have no idea where that would go. I mean, it would just be... It would just be a...
Yeah, and I'd throw in how I was trying to open up a Campbell's soup can, because I'm starving, with a toenail clipper.
What? Okay. Okay.
You didn't see the picture I had on Twitter. I literally was eating mac and cheese out of a can with a toothbrush, and I was trying desperately to get the chicken noodles open with a toenail clipper, and the Campbell's soup can won, and I went to bed starving.
I did say it's... pick on Twitter, actually, Chris. You gave it a decent go at it, too.
Yeah, wait a minute. Didn't somebody get suspended on Twitter this week? What was that happened there, Chris, actually? Did you get suspended on Twitter?
I don't know. Some guy said that I was suspended for talking about the elections, but I'm clearly still on there and showing my pictures of not only my pierced nipples, but also of the Campbell soup can that got the best of me with a whole bunch of puncture marks from a toenail clipper that broke, and I started crying.
You know, this is rock and roll for you here. I mean, Chris is piercing his nipples, fighting with Campbell soup cans. I'm at a loss here for how to respond to any of this. Pete, any ideas?
I'm still trying to picture a toenail clipper trying to go through a can. Did you not have a flat bladed screwdriver anywhere? Would have made it a whole lot easier.
No, I'm in a motel in the Ozarks, and if I had a screwdriver, I'd be the king of the palace right now. I think I just saw like three guys shoot up in the parking lot, and I gotta put a door, I gotta put a chair in front of my door to be able to get a night's sleep.
Well, I used to, listen, when I was desperate and as a kid, I shoplifted a can of food once, and I'll tell you something, I found a screw on the ground and banged it in with a brick in order to get one of those cans open, and it worked. It took me a little while, but I found a screw by the railroad tracks.
I'll tell you, you know what? I don't say this with pride, but I actually took a bottle of water from the LAX, I don't know what you want to call it, one of those stores that wanted $10 for a bottle of water. I took it, and I stood in the line, and then I conveniently walked away when my flight was called, and I got on board, and I got away with it. So I am a filthy scumbag criminal, apparently, now.
Hey, look, you know what?
Probably wasn't even worth it. Don't you know that in California now you could steal $999? Come on, man. You should have
Well, Donald Jeffries told me that, but you know what? I didn't want to test the theory, so I just had a bottle of water and a thing of bubble gum. And I was off to the races, and I am living high and dry.
I got a brand new show idea. I got a brand new show idea. Shoplifting with Chris Graves. There you go.
Yeah, you can pick a store out each week, you know.
I'll shoot the pilot, and then, you know, and then we'll have, you know, the court proceedings, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we got to do it on video, though. I mean, that's definitely a Rockfin show right there. Shoplifting with Chris Graves. And we just haven't got
evidence, brother, in a court of law. I don't know if I could commit to that. Sorry.
If we creatively shoot it, though, they won't have evidence. It'll be, you know, all hearsay. So there you go.
Hey, guys when you're doing the actual lifting.
Yeah, we'll just blame it on Fox.
Wigs.
Oh, man. Anyways, as we come down to the last 5-6 minutes here, did we ever even get a full idea out of Ray outside of the Motor Mouth Award? Ray, we didn't give you a fair chance to talk, did we?
What's Ray's vote, by the way?
Which way is what?
A vote for the channel? Or
what is Ray and Jimmy James' vote when it comes to the most important thing, the network? I think Jimmy James was in agreement with me, maybe.
Yeah, I think the network should keep going, but if Chuck doesn't want to do the show anymore, that's up to him.
Mm. There you go. So, Ray, you got anything else on your mind?
Not really.
Okay.
Kind of think starting my car and driving an hour to get home.
Oh, man. Yeah, you haven't even made it home yet, huh?
I literally just finished and jumped in the car to take a call.
Oh, man. Well, look, I hope your trip is good, and I hope work wasn't too rough on you. I know I know you're one of those guys delivering an essential product there in Australia and all, but geez, I just hope the rest of your day goes well, because it's the middle of the day for you, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Mm. Yeah, middle of Saturday over there in Oceania. It's, we're talking to the future. So, is what it is. So, BP, how do we wrap this up? You want to get everybody's final thoughts? Although, I don't want to hear anything about fundraising for the network this time. I do appreciate it if you guys decide to do that or whatever, but let's get a final thought without that this week. Maybe next week we'll go back to it, but otherwise, yeah. Let's just continue on. What do you say, BP? Who should we go to first? Jimmy James? Because I think he was the first caller, right? Or no, second.
No. Yeah, he was second caller. That's true. Chris still here? Chris still with us?
Chris is still on the line.
Yeah. Pete, I appreciate you quite a bit. And I hope you don't hate me. And the movie Hope Floats has nothing to do with fecal matter. Have a great weekend, folks.
There you go. The one and only Chris Graves, who does Get Mad with Chris Graves on Sundays. Hopefully he'll have a show this Sunday. I guess I'll find out Sunday morning or afternoon. He'll be preceding Aaron's show, which begins at 10 p.m., but Chris's show begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, live on Ocelli.com. So there you have it, and I have no idea what he's got planned, but I guess we'll find out when we find out. Next would be Jimmy James, though, BP.
Jimmy, any final thoughts for the evening?
Well played, Chris.
We caught him in the middle of a rip, sounds like. But go ahead.
Chris is locked up and tickled Jimmy's funny bone.
You cracked Jimmy James up so much it sounds like he just took a bong hit. Okay, cool.
Well, it's a mix of the two.
Ah, okay.
Definitely no, I'm shutting down the network. Crazy talk. No.
All right.
There's no rest for the wicked. There's no rest for the wicked, Mr. Chuck. You could quit when me and Jordan Maxwell and Mark Lane and these fellas quit.
Okay.
I got a good May Brussels story I want to tell.
Okay. You want to, can you tell it in like a minute or two?
Easily.
Go ahead.
So anyways, one of the few video things you could find of her, maybe after the internet's been stripped, is footage of her in the middle of the 80s on some kind of alt talk show, and she had that book dude with her, Tom Davies, and he really got on my nerves because I never seen Mae Brussels in that situation where she was like dueling with a man's voice, like he kept dismissing what she said. But anyway, something she said always really stuck with me is that she said, this Tom Davy says, well, what's the point? What's the point? And she says, we ain't winning, you know, basically. We're never going to solve the case, this, that, and other thing. And Mae Brosa says, you don't know that, and you can't say that. What if you reach the one person that someday will be sitting in front of the button that pushes the nuclear bomb? What if you reach that one guy? Would it have been worth it?
Well, there you have it. Mae Brosa saying you never know. You just might reach that one person that you need to that actually is going to affect the bigger change. Nuclear bomb or otherwise, you could actually just be in the head of the right person at the right time, and you never know by putting your stuff out there, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. That's what I think.
There you go. Interesting thought from Jimmy James there. So, I'll put you on hold, and then we have we got Ray to see if we can get a final thought from him, B. Pete, and then you, and then we're out of here.
All right, Ray, hit us with it.
Well, seeing as I'm going home to have a gas bag with my liquid therapist, drive safe, and don't forget to tip your waitress.
There you go. Always tip the pizza guy and the waitress, because you might be the dollar that makes the difference, for God's sake. And, you know.
Don't be with this 5% stuff. I mean, if you can tip somebody, tip them. You know, make it worthwhile.
Mm. Agreed. I never could go for this, you know, the people that give like a dollar to a waitress. I go, man, what are you doing? You know, I mean, even in the 90s or the 80s, even the late 80s, when somebody would tip a dollar to a waitress, I'm going, why, you know, why even go with the insult? You know, just leave nothing if that's the case. I mean, because really, what are you doing? Agreed. So anyway, there goes Ray's final thought. How about yours, B. Pete?
Well, another week in the can. It was an interesting discussion, I'll give you that. We got some ideas to kick around. We're going to work on, get back in touch with each other and see how we can progress on that, and may take another show to sort it all out. But
I think so, yeah.
I'd like to remind everybody out there to support your local food banks. Do what you can to help those that need some help. Look out for your neighbors. And another week's done. I'm looking forward to another week next week. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. Plus, we still got the poker game to arrange, and I think that's something that's got to be worked on probably during the rest of the week sometime. But we got to figure out a way to get everybody together who wants to do that. Anyway, in the meantime, I appreciate all you guys for tuning in. I really do. I appreciate you guys for calling. Six, Jimmy James, Chris, and, of course, Ray from the other side of the planet, I guess, you know, depending on how you look at it. And no, I don't think the world is flat. So, yeah. Anyway, that's that. And that's that for the Ocelli Effect for this week. We'll get back at it again next week, that's for sure. And we'll do the Friday night open mic one more time for sure, and see what else we can sort out. Anyway, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.